Good morning.
Roto experts.
To the end zone.
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's time for a touchdown.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Hello and welcome to the Roto Experts podcast for Friday, February 8th, 2019. I am Scott Engel, the managing director of RotoExperts.com. I am the king. I am fantasy. And it started to be a very exciting time of year. For some of you, I guess there's still football. And we'll talk about it in just a second. We finally had a big piece of baseball news that we'll cover today. As well, and it's just a few days now until pitchers and catchers report to spring training. Don't worry if you still want your fantasy baseball fix from the Roto Experts. I will be covering fantasy baseball on this program and also on the Roto Experts Sunday program as well, live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern time every Sunday morning with myself and Joe Galina. You'll be able to hear Todd Zola of Masters Ball talking about the JT Real Muto trade and some other items. We are waiting for some more cleats to fall as it relates to fantasy baseball. Well, as far as football goes, I guess there's some of you that just can't let go of the professional football. And there's a few people actually excited about or interested or piqued about the AAF. Opening up this Saturday, the Alliance of American Football. Me personally, I wouldn't call it the AAF. I would call it the WOT because ultimately it's going to be a waste of time. Just like every other developmental football league we've seen since the USFL. It's a waste of time. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to bother with it. If you want to do that, go ahead. It piques everybody's interest when something like the XFL or the AAF comes around. But really, did any of these leagues last? Now, I give credit to the guys on the Fantasy Football Frenzy for having some fun with it and actually having a draft of players. Pro Football Focus has even done some rankings. But the AAF has already dropped the ball in terms of interactivity. They were promising an app where you could play seasonal and daily fantasy football. And with a day left to go until kickoff on Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, there's no way to play AAF fantasy football even if you wanted to. So already, you know, this league looks like a loss for me. It's just, you know, call me a cynic. Yeah, call me one of those get off my lawn guys. AAF, get off my lawn because there's going to be another one of you coming along anytime soon. It's just, these leagues are a waste. Look, it's good for some of these guys to continue to play football. I'm happy for them and maybe cash a paycheck or something like that and continue to live out the dream that they wanted to. But ultimately, nobody's going to care about these leagues past the first game. We're going to see half-empty stadiums and eventually three-quarter-empty stadiums. All these developmental leagues turn out to be a waste. I remember having free season tickets for the New York, New Jersey Knights of the World League in the early 90s. And for me as a football purist, yeah, it was kind of fun. But ultimately, you know, how much these guys are like, they're third stringers. Trent Richardson, if we were to do a fantasy draft for the Alliance American Football, he would be the first overall pick. How could I seriously take any league? How could I take it seriously when Christian Hackenberg, when I looked at the Pro Football Focus rankings, was not even a top 10 quarterback? Christian Hackenberg is starting in this league? I think that's all you need to tell me about the quality of play. Now look, these guys are talented to some degree, but when we talk about the standards of the NFL, these guys are barely going to make it. They hope it's going to be a developmental league for the NFL. We've seen so many of these things fail. it's just going to be another waste of your time. If you want to watch the games this weekend and say, hey, I did, but 10 years from now, nobody's going to remember who played, why they played, etc. Now we hear talk of the XFL coming back in 2020. Nobody's going to care. We live for the NFL. Nothing else is going to compete. I don't want to see guys who are third, fourth stringers waste my time. If I'm not going to watch preseason football in the second half very often, and look, I often say preseason football is not a waste, but there's a certain point that you get into the game where not even the most ardent football fans can continue to watch. That's what we're seeing here. This is beneath the talent level of exhibition football in the second half. At best, you know, maybe it would match it, but I rate these guys as they're beneath the guys that are going to be competing for a roster spot on an NFL team. I look at some of the names out there, and just like I laugh. You know, these are guys that at best, you know, that will be signed off the street or whatever. You know, maybe you think I'm talking in generics, but you know the facts. This league is not going to last. The players are garbage. Let's not waste our time with this. You know, we spend so much time and so much energy pouring it into the NFL season. It's a, you know, I'm not going to go out all of a sudden and watch these teams. There's only eight of them, too. And, like, hardly any of them are in major markets. It's like, even if I wanted to, say, root for a team like that, I don't even have a hometown team. How can I take an eight-team league seriously? An eight-team league of NFL fourth stringers. Why do I want to watch that? I would say the last league that I got involved in was the NFL. Other than the NFL was the Arena Football League back in around, say, 2011 to 2013, when it was really doing its best. And I found that somewhat interesting. But then the league fell apart, and it's never been the same at all. And, yeah, I even played the Arena Football video game at one point. I was that interested. So, but I really can't see anything, holding my interest other than the National Football League. And so just waste your time. Don't waste your time. I'm not going to either. If you're a football purist, go ahead and do it. But I'm not going to. Moving on to some other NFL news, Cam Newton has a video blog series now that obviously everybody heard the news, in which he talked about his shoulder surgery, even showed himself recovering from it. And, you know, Ron Rivera had shared recently with the Charlotte Observer that, you know, this was basically an arthroscopic cleanup procedure, that they tried to remove some scar tissue that was giving him some issues, and that really it wasn't as bad as they thought it was. Cam Newton said it confirmed in this video series that it wasn't as bad as they thought. Doesn't look like he's going to need another surgery, but you never know. But all reports are indicating right now is that Cam Newton should be ready for training camp in 2018. But Newton also came out and admitted that at certain points during the regular season in 2018 – that he could not throw downfield effectively. And I think you definitely saw it in the production. Now, you look at Cam Newton's overall numbers, and the completion percentage was high. I think that has a lot to do with playing with Christian McCaffrey. And in November, he threw 9 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, but you could see that he was compromised, something that the numbers don't totally reflect when you just look at the passing numbers by themselves. But Cam Newton only had two games this year where he threw more than 2 touchdown passes. And when you really see the overall numbers, the impact of just that Cam Newton wasn't himself, he wasn't the dual threat that he was in the second half of the year. Cam Newton did not have a single rushing touchdown in the second half of last season. He just wasn't the dual threat that he usually was. Couldn't complete long passes, wasn't as much of a threat as a runner. And, you know, that made him much less useful as a fantasy quarterback. Now, we're going to have to wait and see fantasy owners will obviously be very, very skeptical about Cam Newton heading into 2019. But this does seem like there is some good news on Cam Newton right now, that unless he has any setbacks, that we can really look at him for 2019 maybe with a little bit more optimism. Christian McCaffrey had a huge, incredible workload. And during the offseason, maybe this team will want to pick up a free agent veteran that can be a better backup to Christian McCaffrey, because as much work as Christian McCaffrey gets, you have to wonder if he's going to get overworked or hurt at some point. I'm not trying to create worries where there are not any, but when a guy touches the ball that much, it becomes something of a minor concern. Maybe they want to get a little bit better of a better backup there to maybe take a few carries away per game for Christian McCaffrey. And that would not necessarily be a bad thing, because if you're taking, you know, four touches, maybe five away every game, you know, little less chance of an injury, little less chance of being overworked, etc. And McCaffrey's so talented that he can maximize the touches that he continues to get and still be a top four fantasy pick. But I think the Panthers, from an NFL perspective, you know, they really just want to have more peace of mind there, that maybe they don't overwork this kid. And then if he was to go down with some sort of injury at some point, then he would have a better backup than Cameron Artis Payne. Obviously, they had the better backup with C.J. Anderson, but they didn't think so. And then the Raiders made the same mistake, and then look what he did for the Rams. And then C.J. Anderson could probably be starting elsewhere next year. Maybe that's a guy that compete for a starting job. But the Panthers don't have a whole lot of skill position needs as they head into the new season. In free agency, Devin Funch is a free agent, and he said he wants to return the team, but he's in a very disappointing tenure. And I don't know if they're going to want him back necessarily. Greg Olsen has said that he'd like to return. There were a lot of people that thought that Greg Olsen might retire, but he said, you know, he's going to work on his foot and see if he can come back. A lot of dynasty owners want to know about what's going to happen there, because I think from what we saw a little bit in the preseason and at one point during the regular – few points during late in the regular season, that Ian Thomas is a guy that could probably be affected with more of an opportunity. And if Greg Olsen is back, obviously, I think that cuts into the appeal of Ian Thomas, who is a guy that, you know, one of those other tight end types who came from a basketball background and has really flashed some upside there, especially when he was out late in the season in 2018. Cam Newton was looking at Ian Thomas on some very important downs. So we'll have to wait. But when Greg Olsen is in there, he's still capable of putting up decent numbers, so we'll have to keep a watch on that tight end situation. You know, they have two young guys coming back there, that in DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, that can really have more fantasy appeal if we know that Cam Newton is healthier heading into 2019. And for keeper and dynasty perspectives, for those two receivers, we want to keep a watch on the health of Cam Newton, obviously. What the team is missing, though, is one real pure downfield threat to complement those other two guys and the tight ends. And will this team go after, say, a cheap downfield option in free agency? I think that's something that could happen. You know, you look at guys like John Brown, who are free agents. You know, maybe a John Brown would be a good fit in Carolina as a complement to everything else they have. I think the one thing that they need more than anything is probably just like that pure, deep downfield field stretcher. And you know, John Brown is a free agent, is one of those guys who fits the bill. I've seen Terrell Williams mentioned as well. Terrell Williams, I think, was overrated from a fantasy perspective in 2019. But I think if it goes to somewhere new, there's upside for a guy like that. I have mentioned in the past, for those of you listening, that I think Terrell Williams would be a superb fit in a place like New England, where he could end up in 2019, because the Patriots could certainly use that downfield threat when they don't know what they're going to get with Josh Gordon, or if they're going to get anything with Josh Gordon at all in 2019. But there's one dimension missing from that passing game. We'll see if they fill it. And in the draft, you know, a lot of talk that the Panthers are probably going to look to bolster the offensive line. They have a tackle spot, left tackle, where I think they really want to bolster that and also get Cam Newton some protection. So a lot of developing storylines that we're going to have to watch fantasy-wise with the Carolina Panthers as we look ahead towards the 2019 season. It's very hard to know where to value Cam Newton right now because we have to see what kind of progress he makes in his recovery, and obviously everything is hinged to that. And depending on how the team feels about his health, and regardless, I think they have to get a better backup. Because when we saw Cam Newton leave the field, there was just a huge drop-off in terms of who they could go to in talent. So lots to watch here in Carolina in the offseason from a fantasy football perspective. You're listening to the Roto Experts Daily Podcast with Scott Engel. Here 5 days a week. Don't forget to listen to the Sunday edition, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with myself and Joe Galita every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern time. Big news in the world of fantasy baseball as JT Realmuto is finally traded. He went to the Philadelphia Phillies for a package of three players, and one of those is going to be Jorge Alfaro, top Phillies prospect at catcher. He can obviously replace JT Realmuto in Philadelphia, in Miami, going from Philadelphia. But we've been all been waiting for this to happen. Sixto Sanchez, the 100-mile-an-hour throwing top prospect for the Phillies, is now a Marlin. And we've been hearing about JT Realmuto wanting to be traded since last season. Is when the Marlins got rid of everybody again, and this is like the third big house cleaning in their history, significant house cleaning. The other two after the 1997 World Championship, they cleaned house right away. After the 2003 World Championship, they took their time more, but they eventually got rid of all those guys too. And now there's no starters left from the 2017 Marlins. So if you're in Miami and you want to go to a baseball game, you'll probably be able to get a ticket very cheap again this year, maybe even cheaper than last year. As the Marlins have pulled off, that they've actually stripped everything to beneath the bone there. And when you got guys going out there, like a lot of unknowns, and then retreads like Curtis Granderson and Neil Walker, that's not a product that anybody's going to want to pay to see or spend their time going out to the ballpark in Miami. Usually people go to Marlins games to see the visiting team. That's probably going to be more the case than ever this season when you take a look at the product that they're going to be putting on the field. It's just it's terrible. You know, that team could probably lose well over 100 games this year, and it won't be the first time in recent history that we've seen it either. But Realmuto now gets a new home. You know, and this is a guy that was going in the fifth round of the NFBC drafts, had an ADP of 54, was still regarded as the top fantasy catcher in the game, but yeah, now his value and his appeal gets boosted even more to and going to a hitter's park, going to a better lineup, as the Phillies are really looking to separate themselves in the NL East, and it may not be their last move. You know, there's a lot of buzz and conjecture that after the JT Realmuto trade, that the Phillies might land Manny Machado or Bryce Harper with some money that's remaining and really complete a big offseason haul in free agency. Philadelphia has been very, very active. They acquired Andrew McCutchen, who's past his prime but still very useful. Gene Segura, who's going to be a great leadoff hitter in Philadelphia. Also David Robertson as well to anchor the back end of that bullpen. And now they get Realmuto as well. You think they probably want to move on from Michael Franco. And they could do better than Nick Williams in right field. So it seems like the Phillies could be primed to make a run here at Harper or Machado very shortly before spring training starts. And you have to like Machado or Harper in that ballpark, you know, in this revamped lineup, et cetera. But for Real Muto, whether they get somebody else or not, it's a great move. You know, I've seen Real Muto projected for in a lot of circles for about 270 with 20 home runs and 70 RBIs. That naturally jumps now with this sort of trade, playing in a hitter's park like Citizens Bank instead of playing in the cavernous Miami ballpark is going to make a big difference in his numbers. And when you look at the splits for his career and for last year, you can see there's going to be a great move for him. Like, taking a look at let's take a look at his career home numbers. He's only a 244. He was only a 244 hitter in Miami with an OBP of 329, a slugging percentage of OBP of 292, a slugging percentage of 384, an OPS of 676, and take note of this isolated power number, 139. And then you look at the away stats for his career. 310 batting average away from Miami up until this point. OBP, 358. Slugging percentage, 494. OPS, 852. And the isolated power of 183. Big difference, especially an isolated power from 139 to 183. And let's just take a quick look at last year as well. Last year in Miami, he had 269, 329 OBP, 444 slugging percentage, 773 OPS, 175 isolated power. On the road, of course, much better. 283 average, OBP of 350, slugging percentage of 520, OPS of 870, isolated power of 236, the best in his career. So, obviously, from all the numbers, and you see a lot of other numbers being pointed out on a lot of other sites from people analyzing this deal, that it's going to be a great move for Real Muto. So the first question becomes is, now that he's going to move from a fifth-round ADP, how high will he actually be boosted? I think, you know, this guy could actually be boosted in the third round because, as we all know, catcher is a very, very weak position in fantasy baseball. When you talk about a guy that can maybe hit 275 with 25-plus homers and drive in 80-plus runs in a much better situation and even score more runs, you have to remember, Real Muto is a guy with unusual speed, above-average speed for a catcher. So that always turns into extra base hits. That turns into more runs scored than your average catcher. And hopefully, we're going to see more steals from JT Real Muto. We certainly didn't get anywhere near enough last year, but we've seen these capable of stealing bases in double figures. Will the Phillies give him more of a green light? Maybe if they acquire somebody else, they can bump him down more in the lineup and expose a little bit more of that speed, say if he's in a little lower in the order, say about fifth or something like that. You know, there's always the bonus of the possible speed that other catchers just don't have. So a great move for the Phillies. Obviously boosts his fantasy outlook from a tremendous perspective. The Marlins getting back Jorge Alfaro. You know, a lot of savvy fantasy baseball players. And is there such a thing as not a savvy fantasy baseball player? Because just about everybody I know who plays fantasy baseball, you know, really, really knows what they're doing. I think the average fantasy baseball player is much more intense than the average football player. I don't think that's any surprise or I'm breaking any news there. But they get Jorge Alfaro, who strikes out a ton and is going to be a real drain on your batting average if you have him as a fantasy catcher. Does have some pop potential there, but is still very, very raw. Probably going to get exposed, playing more regularly for Miami. I've already seen some comparisons to Mike Zunino, which is not good, which could mean like 18 homers at a batting average slightly north of 200, although we've seen lower from Zunino in the past, so not something good. If you play in a dynasty league, I think you're very interested about Sixto Sanchez. The guy has been known as a very small flamethrower, under 6 feet, can throw 100. We've already seen injury issues. There's been concerns about his health. The strikeout numbers in the minors have not been spectacular of what we expected, but he's shown some good control. But this was the top prospect in the Phillies system. Some reports said that he was the best pitching prospect that the Phillies have had since they had a young Cole Hamels. And maybe he now becomes the Marlins' best pitching prospect since they had the late Jose Fernandez. But, you know, he's still very young. He's still very low in the minors, and we don't know if he's going to mount to anything yet. So we're going to have to play wait and see on that. Really only a guy that's rosterable in dynasty leagues right now is the Marlins. I don't know how many years they're looking into the future for this. But the Marlins played it patient. They waited this out, you know, to try to get a top prospect. Just about every team that they tried to talk to that wanted James E. or Real Muto, they wanted a top prospect or a top young player or two. And a lot of teams didn't bite. Finally, Philadelphia did bite on this. And maybe this signals that some free agent dominoes are going to start to fall here because we're getting so close to spring training, and maybe the price is going to start to dip on some of these guys. I've seen some reports surrounding Bryce Harper that now all of a sudden some new teams are getting involved in the mix because they're sensing that the price may drop, and they're either getting into the game for the first time or they're getting back into the game. Like I was talking about with the Red Sox, Craig Kimbrel is still out there. Could the Phillies make a run at Craig Kimbrel? There's a sense out there from a lot of the baseball reports that I'm reading is that the Phillies probably are not done. They're probably one big step, one more player away in this offseason. Another move that they're going to make could be a Harper. It could be a Machado. Could it be a Craig Kimbrel? It's very possible. So with only a few days before pitchers and catchers, we might see a sense of urgency. We might see some news start to break. And I'll tell you what I'll be more interested in than the Alliance of American Football. It's not an official race, but finally NASCAR is back. And that means the Father and Son Fantasy NASCAR Hour will be back this weekend on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with myself and Sean Engel as we get ready for the clash at Daytona. And as I record this, we are only 9 days away from the 2019 Daytona 500. When you listen to the Father and Son Fantasy NASCAR Hour, we're going to have a lot to talk about, a lot of off-season changes. Can Chase Elliott challenge the big three this year? Can he take another leap forward and become that new batter guy for Hendrick Motorsports? And there's new rules packages as well in NASCAR as they want to keep things more competitive. They want to keep races more competitive and watchable. This to the chagrin of some of the top drivers who feel that they've really worked hard to distance themselves from the rest of the field. But NASCAR wants this sport to be more competitive. And when they tested this new rules package last year at the All-Star race, a lot of fans liked what they saw. And you know, NASCAR has been dipping in the ratings, and you know, the crowds are starting to dip, the attendance is starting to dip. But I think it's also due to you've seen a lot of personalities disappear from the sport, like Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt Jr., some of the most popular guys of all time. And a big story this year is, can Jimmy Johnson bounce back after not winning a race for the first time in his career? Johnson sounds optimistic, telling the media that he wants to get a fresh start here. This feels like a fresh start for him, but it's hard to be optimistic about Jimmy Johnson after what we saw last year. Can Kyle Larson take that next step after winning four races last year and become one of those true contenders to join the big three? And I've heard Kyle Busch compared to Peyton Manning at some points, because for a long time, Peyton Manning had only one championship despite all of everything else he achieved, And that's the case for Kyle Busch. Can Kyle Busch make a push for a second championship? Those are all questions to be answered, but hey, you can start registering for your seasonal leagues now. NASCAR Fantasy Live, Fantrax, both have seasonal fantasy NASCAR, and we'll be talking about DraftKings, FanDuel, etc. as we get ready for the Clash in Daytona. And we'll have the duels next week leading up to Daytona. I'm sure there's going to be some daily fantasy games for them. So busy week coming up. We're not getting too far from NFL free agency. Remember that rotoexperts.com is now NFL 365 days a year. Check out our NFL draft prospect reports, my Keeper Corner article where I answer all your keeper questions and dynasty questions as well. And don't forget to check out Daily Roto for everything you need, including NASCAR coverage coming up starting this weekend. So we'll see you Sunday morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening, and hopefully you'll have other plans for Saturday night than watching the AAF.